Let us pray. Holy Spirit, come now in this moment that our hearts might be lifted up to heaven. Holy Spirit, descend so that we might ascend. Give us grace to see Jesus. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So towards the end of a school year, when I was still in grade school, Mr. Punt took us on a field trip. All of us in that one room, country schoolhouse, went to Tongue River Cave. We parked, we went over the bridge, we zigzagged our way up the side of the slope to the mouth of the cave. And there at the mouth of the cave was the faded green sign with the name Tongue River Cave and all of the, you know, fine print with the dangers lurking within. The barred gate hung open. We went around, we slid down the incline, we stood up, we dusted off our trousers, and we stared into that black hole of the tunnel in front of us. We began to walk forward, Mr. Punt yelling back, "Everybody, flashlights on!" So each of us, kids and parent chaperones, took turns clicking on our lights. The darkness abated a bit. And Mr. Punt went ahead, swinging his light back and forth across the cave floor. A ways up, he yelled, "Careful, there's a stalagmite right there. Don't trip." And then about 15 minutes journey into the depths of the earth, ooh, watch out, focusing his beam on a crack running along the side of the wall, a crack that if you shone your light down, you couldn't see the bottom of. One of the dads close to us whistled, "That's deep. Careful, don't fall off in that. You might keep falling forever." And all of us kids shuddered and shuffled past, holding our lights on the crack, imagining ourselves tripping over our untied shoelaces and rolling off into the abyss, never to be found again. It was only because of the light that we could actually see it. Without the light, we wouldn't see the reality of the cave, the dangers that lurked there. All because of our flashlights. And in our gospel reading this morning, we have another bit of spelunking, divine spelunking. For the triune God has parked his car, crossed the bridge, and zigzagged his way up the slope, and entered into another cave with plenty of stalagmites and crevices, the cave of the human heart. Howls of rage and protest sound in the air. Young men in creased tunics clutch and tear at the sky. Old men wrinkle their noses and beat their breasts. Women splay out their elbows and throw up their hands, hearty harumphs. And the Pharisees stand on the edges of the crowd, snickering and rolling their eyes. "We are not children of the devil. We are not slaves. We are sons and daughters of Abraham. We are true people of God. You, Jesus, you are the Satanist, not us. You are a Samaritan and demon-possessed." Anger, outrage. When moments before, these people had believed in Jesus. "I am the light of the world," Jesus had preached. "I am the light of the world, the flashlight shining back and forth in the gloom. Whoever follows after me will no longer walk in darkness, but will instead walk in the light of life." Hooray! Yes, Jesus is the light of the world. Amen, this is true. Everyone believing until the triune God parked his car, went over the bridge, zigzagged up the slope, and slid down the incline of the cave of their hearts. The Father clicking on the Christ light, sweeping it back and forth across the cave floor. Wait a minute. There's a stalagmite. Journeying farther into the recesses of these people's hearts. If you continue, Jesus tells them, if you continue on, you will be my disciples. But you are slaves. You are liars. You have murder on the heart. You are sons and daughters of your father, the devil. The Father stopping there in the cave. Ooh, ooh, careful. And pointing the light, the beautiful, terrible light of Christ on that fault line running through their hearts, the abyss within them. And so the howls of outrage and protest. Demon man! Not particularly appreciative of God's spelunking. I'm not demon-possessed, says Jesus. You dishonor me, but I am only honoring my Father, and my Father will vindicate me. And as the divine spelunking continues, Jesus stretches out his hand to these snarling, twisted faces. He offers good news. If anyone keeps my word, that person will absolutely not ever see death. But the cave of the human heart was twisted and dark. The shouts, the screams of anger. No, we don't even want your good news. You are demon-possessed. Did we not say you are like a Samaritan? And already as Jesus is offering the good news, they are beginning to tear up stones from the temple courtyard. Let's smash this flashlight. Let's get rid of it. Abraham, rejoice to see my day, says Jesus. Again, more good news, more hope. But the human heart wants nothing of it. God goes spelunking, and the human heart rebels. We all love Jesus. We all love Jesus until he gets a little too close. We're just fine with, I am the light of the world, as long as that's a good idea, far away. But when the triune God parks his car and goes over the bridge and zigzags his way up the slope, past the barred gate of who we are, sliding down into the tunnel of our lives, dusting off his trousers and then clicking on that beautiful, terrible light of Christ, then we're not so sure. Because as the Father sweeps the beam back and forth in front of who we are and the depths of who we are, we find that there's a lot more left to repent of. We like to fixate on our little sins. Oh, yes, Father, I know. I know I'm a sinner. Yes, see the stalagmite. Yes, I lie once in a while. This is a problem. Yes, see, I know, I repent. I see this. And the Father sweeps the Jesus beam back and forth in the power of the Spirit. Yes, that's a problem, but ooh, look over here. This crack, this fault line in your personality. Yeah, sure, you lie once in a while. But I am even more concerned with your murderous words, the bitterness in your heart. The anger with which you treat your family. Yes, You have a little issue here or there, but here is something deeper, something that descends into an abyss of who you are. We all love Jesus until his light clicks on, right where we don't want it to be, and show us the reality of the cave of who we are. Demon man. And even as Jesus offers us words of hope, before Abraham was, I am, we're tearing at temple stones, trying to rip them up. Let's stone the flashlight. Let's shatter it. Go back to darkness. And God goes spelunking. So often our hearts rebel. We don't like being told who we are. And yet, this adventure of God into the human heart, it is the beginning of our salvation. It is the beginning of our daily rebirth. God does not come near for no good reason. The descent into the cave of our lives is grace. Grace and truth. St. John writes at the beginning of his gospel how Jesus is the God-man, the Word, light from light. The light shines in the darkness, says John, and the darkness has not overcome it. Before Abraham was, I am, says Jesus, the light of the world. No matter how many stones we take up to crush the flashlight, Jesus hides himself and goes out of the temple. The darkness cannot overcome God's light. And we don't have to stone the light. There is another way to respond. There is another way to react to the sweep of the beam of Jesus Christ in our lives. Again, early in his gospel, John writes, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to those who believe on his name, who were not born of the will of the flesh or of blood or of the will of a man, but born of God. We don't have to respond like devil children. We can respond like those born of God. As God slides down that embankment into our hearts, as he clicks on the light of the eternal sun, and as that light sweeps over our lives, ooh, that crack, that crevice, that fault line into an abyss of our personalities. We do not have to howl with rage or pick up stones. We can say, yes, that's me. It's who I am. That's there. Would you forgive me? And as we confess our sins, as we repent, the light draws near. And we hear those good news words in a new way. Before Abraham was, I am. If anyone keeps my word, that one will never, ever see death. So how will we respond to Jesus in this season of Lent? How will we respond as God goes spelunking in our hearts, shining the light of Christ onto those aspects of our personality that we would rather keep in the dark? Will we rebel? Or will we repent? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.